Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media. Okay, I feel justified right now because I have my podcast producer, Lindsay, as my guest today. And I was just saying, you probably hear me talk about the record button every single week, but I really can't find it. And she just told me, Lindsay,
it's not obvious. It's the same color as all the other little whatever buttons on the bottom. And it's just like a small circle. It needs to be more obvious. So I'm with you, Catherine.
Thank you. I feel justified and not just old and like, what's this technology thing?
Wait, have you ever heard of Zoom?
Lindsay, it's really good to catch up with you.
It's great to catch up with you as well. It's great to be on this side of the conversation. I feel like I'm always in the background editing, listening to you and Christy talk and like thinking about what I would say if I were talking to you guys.
Do you like talk out loud to us and be like, don't ask that question? Or like, why didn't you ask that question?
I mean, I don't think I talk out loud, but you know, in my head.
Yeah. Well, Christy's on vacation. Lucky. So, and then we were chatting back and forth and I was like, oh, I think we're just going to do a rebroadcast. And then some things came up that we decided oh, it'd actually be a great conversation with Lindsay because we have had you on the podcast before, a couple of years ago, I think. Then you took a break from being our producer for a while and then you came back. not because you didn't like us, because you had some other job stuff going on.
Yes.
Just a quick reminder for folks, like what you do in cycling. I haven't caught up with you. I don't know if you're still doing Xterra stuff or what's going on in Lindsay's life in cycling these days.
It's been a couple of years since I've been on the podcast and probably like a year and a half since we saw each other. So I'm not racing Xterra as of right now. I've kind of delved into the gravel and mountain bike space, kind of into that like endurance, some stage racing, so multi-day events. I race Unbound. More just straight up riding dirt, less running and swimming, but still do a little bit of that for fun.
Do you still put your chews on your top tube?
Yeah, I do.
That was my favorite thing. Lindsay finishes Unbound. I'm at the finish line and like her. So if you don't know, triathletes, like a trick is you would lick like your chew, like a goo chew or something, put it on your top tube so it's easy to grab. However, you ride through cow patties and gravel.
Yeah. Yeah. Gravel, like certain gravel races, I may do that. Mountain biking for sure. Just like if it's a technical course and it's like, I don't know through this section, if I'm going to be able to like take my hand off the bars to get something to eat, if it's right there in your top tube, boom, you just pop it in your mouth.
It actually makes more sense in mountain biking, right? Because you're not typically riding through like areas where animals are also pooping.
Yeah.
Or streams less, that animals.
Less. Yeah. Less. Yeah.
And I mean, there are, it's not the same as like the, unless it depends on the race, I guess, but you don't get the same amount of water strewn up on you often because you're not necessarily pace lining it with
totally.
The
oh yeah. Yeah. The pace, I think the pace line was the undoing of my Clip-Lock top tubes in that like, so that was what, 2022 when it rained, not as bad as last year, but it rained and it was just like the last, I don't know, probably 20 miles. I was in a pace line with some guys and just like, I came through the finish and my mouth was full of like grit from the road because you're just getting sprayed in the face. But if you're like, well, if I drop back, then I lose this group and whatever. So sometimes you gotta get a mouthful of dirt.
You just gotta let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting because it was that it had rained the day before, but it rained really hard that year. Like I was in, I can't remember what rest stop I was in, but I got soaked waiting for people. But it was just more that it rained just on course. So you didn't have that first mud section, but then the last bit turned into a mud section. And anyway, last year was like the crazy, a crazy weather year, but it's gravel
racing. Gravel racing. Yeah. I just relived it. We watched Call of a Lifetime over the last week or so. And actually like seeing all the footage of the carnage and like how hard it was for the pros, thinking about like, oh man, like thousands of people went through that. So kudos to you if
Did
you
you
were
notice
at
how clean they were at the end of that one? Like nobody, like, because the year you raced it, when the men came through, nobody knew who won
knew who
because
won.
they were mud
That's
plates.
right.
And you couldn't tell which, it was like three
Who
tall
was who?
white guys.
Yeah.
Covered in dirt.
Yeah.
So it was just a different kind of day. But so have you been doing more mountain biking or gravel riding than the last 2 years?
You know, it's been a pretty even mix of both. I would say it's a pretty even mix of both. I've raced some mountain bike races, mostly stage races. Trans Rockies does a 6-day mountain bike stage race, so I've done that a couple of times. I did the Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, which we'll chat about more. Just some other, like, I'm quite lucky. I live in kind of like southeastern British Columbia, Canada. And we have a lot of local-ish races, you know, like place races I can drive to that are mountain bike or gravel races. So I've kind of been staying a little closer to home and doing some fun gravel and mountain bike races here.
Yeah, you do definitely have the hookup. It's on my list to make it up there to ride one summer.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Like BC, you know, with the forestry industry here, for better or for worse, there's a lot of like Forest Service roads through like the entire province. So there's some pretty cool routes and races that you can do here.
Yeah. Well, I do want to talk about Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, but before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about your other job because that's actually the last time I see you. You came to Tacoma for
That's
a
right.
course.
Yeah, I was in a ski boot fitting course. Yeah.
So what do you do? You left Feisty to go to this job. What do you do?
Yeah, I left Feisty to start a podorthic practice. So I am a Canadian certified podorthist,
I'm
which
glad that you have to spell that in the podcast notes. I
yeah.
don't have to.
Yeah. So basically my area of study and expertise is the biomechanics of gait related disorders, and then custom orthotic fabrication, and also shoe fitting and modifications to footwear. So it really, like, as an example, if someone has plantar fasciitis, they'll come and see me for an appointment. I do an assessment, and the big part of my assessment is watching someone walk and identifying, like, is there a pattern in your gait that leads to a strain on your tissues that is contributing to this injury. So I'm a gait person.
You're a gait person. Well,
and
I was
foot.
curious a little of how that translated to cycling, because we get a lot of people post, especially in the Facebook group, like they have pain in their feet cycling, or they get hot spots, or they just aren't comfortable after so long. And so I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on like, what of that is like shoe? What is that orthotic? What is that cleat position? Like, what can we do? What are some common things? And then maybe what can we do to help with those?
Totally. So I think it often, it depends if it's shoe, cleat position, what's inside the shoe. Oftentimes, with bike shoes specifically, and typically a performance shoe, right? Like you wanna your bike shoe, if you're, wanting to perform and ride long, they're fairly tight. And often that means they're narrow, and that can compress nerves in the foot, and that leads to some of that like numbness, tingling, through kind of the ball of the foot and toes. And actually, what it can do when you compress is it like you have an arch across the front of your foot from the big toe to the pinky toe called your metatarsal arch. And when that arch is compressed and collapses, then it pinches on the nerves that run into the toes, and it leads to that like numbness or burning sensation. So oftentimes with the cyclists I see, when that's their issue, what you want to do is add some support into the metatarsal area. So you can do that with just like putting a metatarsal pad in the bike shoe, or getting either a custom orthotic, or some off the shelf orthotics have that metatarsal support in it. A common mistake I see is that people put it too far forward. If you're just popping it on yourself, you can buy like a metatarsal support from the drugstore, but you actually want it to be like behind where you feel that area of pain. So that's kind of the shoe piece and the insole piece. Cleat position also can affect where the force is going up through your foot. So if your cleat is a little too far forward, then it adds extra strain onto that sort of the ball of the foot, like metatarsal area. So those are the most common things that I see with cyclists.
What about like sizing? You know, when you go get running shoes, they're like always make sure, like the length and yours should be a little tighter. What do you recommend? Like, how do you know what size to get? Because they're usually in European sizes too.
Yeah, European sizes. Yeah, it's actually really funny. So I have a Brannock device, like I measure people's feet so I can tell them like this is your size. And so many of my patients are like, wow, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. And it's like, how does a shoe store like even get started? Anyway, sizing wise, so what I tell my patients, if you're trying on shoes in the store, take the insole of the shoe out and stand on it. That's going to give you a really good visual representation of how the shape of that shoe matches the shape of your foot. And you want about half a thumbnail to a full thumbnail length at the end. So at the end of your longest toe. So whether that's your first toe or your second toe, everybody's different. So about half a thumbnail length at the end of your longest toe, for lengthwise. And then widthwise, obviously, like if you stand on the insole and your foot is hanging off that both edges and you can't see the insole under your foot, that shoe's probably too narrow. If you stand on it and you can see too much of the insole on either side, then it's probably too wide. So finding that right fit.
That's great. That's very good advice. And then how much like do you think like there's the car like the different kinds of shoes make a difference? Like how much do those matter?
That's a good question. I mean, the kind of shoe matters less, I think, than the fit and the quality of the shoe. And it depends on what you're doing too. With the carbon plated shoe, that was kind of like the cool thing, the new technology. There is some evidence that like force transfer in that up the leg over time isn't as good for you. So if you're doing like all your running in a carbon plated shoe, not so good for like musculature further up the leg. Or the like really minimalist shoe movement, which was kind of, a few years ago, pretty in. It doesn't work for everybody, works for some people. But if you think about like if you're used to wearing shoes all the time and then you decide you're going to get some barefoot shoes and go for a 10K run, you're probably going to get injured. You need to like build up the strength in your feet to be able to like actually do activity in those shoes and not get hurt.
Yeah, it is interesting because I got some shoes sent to me by somebody that wanted a review from them, and I'm like, oh, they're really nice shoes. But So then I wore them, and then I put my old shoes back on. I was like, oh, I was wearing shoes that were too small. And I think some of it is like maybe my foot has grown, like with perimenopause, like it's
Yep,
my,
that can
not that
happen.
uncommon. And like I didn't wear shoes a lot during the pandemic because I'm all, Tennessee barefoot girl. And then like when I went to get measured last time at REI, actually they did have the measure thing, and he made me get in it.
Good.
And he was like, oh, you know, your left foot is like a half size bigger than your right foot. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, which is fairly common. Like most people have a foot that's like a half size bigger, but when you're fitting shoes, fit the bigger foot.
Yeah, which is like I kind of like knew, like in my head, I was like, this kind of makes sense, but I always like it's easy to slip on and off the right foot, right? Because I'm dominant. And so, like, how many times have I tried on a shoe and I've just done one side because I'm like, oh, please fit. Because I'm too lazy to take off both my shoes.
Yes, try on both shoes, walk around. Make sure they're like comfortable in the store. And I mean, there's different features in footwear that like if you have like an injury that you'd want to look for. So say like you have plantar fasciitis, you want a shoe that's going to be stable and supportive. Not something like, you know,
Is that true
Skechers.
in cycling shoes too?
Totally. Yeah.
Would that, so they are more, some are more supportive than others. Like,
Some are more supportive and some are stiffer. And the stiffness helps with power transfer right from your leg into the pedal. And it depends on what's inside the shoe too, with the like support. So if you're having like arch pain or knee pain, you can like affect that by adding extra arch support with either like a custom orthotic or something off the shelf as well.
there's so much to talk about with feet and
Yeah,
shoes.
there's a lot.
One last question. You may not, this might not be in your wheelhouse, but you know, cycling shoes can be very expensive. But how, like, and you know, like running shoes are like, well, you need to every so many miles or so many months because the shoe breaks down.
Yeah.
Is that the same with cycling shoes, or do they a little more durable? Like, if you make that investment, you're gonna have them.
Yeah, I would say cycling shoes are more durable. The thing that breaks down in a running shoe is the midsole material. So it's that cushion material between the outsole and where your foot is inside. And that breaks down. And if you have any gait patterns that like your foot tips in or out over time, that gets exacerbated as the material compresses. In a bike shoe, you don't have that midsole material, right? It's the plate in the bottom and then the upper and the closure and all that. So bike shoes really like last much longer. It's really about like, okay, is this sole still stiff enough that it's transferring power? And is it like, are there massive holes in it where my foot's going to come out?
Oh, okay. These are all very good things to know. So if you have had questions about pain in the Facebook group, this is going to be the episode you're going to love. But speaking of wearing your shoes for a long time, I like that transition.
Oh, good one.
We wanted to chat a little bit about the Trans Rockies Gravel Royale because I met with the race director a few weeks ago. Similar to when we had that conversation with Scotty, like they want, I mean, they're such advocates for females and their start lines and want to see more women show up. So we kind of hit that conversation with Scotty about like, you know, how do you train? How do you prepare for an event like that? But I think like the idea of getting candidates, based on some of your recommendations, even have are making some changes this year. So I wanted to, you know, hear from you, like why you love this event, why you love this company, and then, you know, what's happening this year, and then maybe we'll get into some of your tips, because I know you've got a lot of insight from years of training and even like working with women. You coach girls some, right?
Yeah, I do some like mountain bike skills coaching.
Yeah, which
Yeah,
transfers. Yeah,
totally,
good
totally.
understanding.
So Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, I did it 2022 in their inaugural year. And like, I don't know, it's like summer camp for adults, honestly. Because well that year, we started in Panorama, BC, which is where I live, which is like really special that like this world-class event started like, you know, 500 yards from my front door. So it's like, wow, this is cool. You know, like lining up with Rach McBride down the street from my house, like amazing.
Amazing.
And like, you know, Aaron, who is the owner of the company, he just like deeply cares about every athlete like having a good time, and he's there every day. His kids are there, his wife's there, you know, it's just like a family event kind of from the top down. And then the nature of the event, that year it was 4 days, and you know, over the course of 4 days, you kind of find your people and you find like, oh, we're the same pace, so I'm going to line up with you tomorrow because we rode the last 40K together today and we worked a good pace. So like, let's line up together tomorrow and see what we can do. So, you know, you find that like connection with people, and then you have 3 or 4 days to ride with them. And then you finish the ride and you show up, you're at Nipica, which is this like beautiful mountain resort with cabins and then your tent set up, and then you can hang out and get a massage and like chat about like what just happened out there, you know? And there's that kind of like that bond of people that you've just done something really hard with, and then you know you're gonna have to do it again tomorrow. And then you sit and have dinner, and they do a slideshow of all the like pictures from the day and do awards from the day. So it's just like they've created a really fun atmosphere that's not just about the racing and the results. It's about the whole experience, which is really special.
Yeah. And once you get there, like, it's kind of the logistics of getting there, but then they take care of everything for you, right?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that year was different. You showed up at the start line and it was a little bit more point to point, but they transport everything for you. This year they're setting it up more as like a base camp. You come in and we start and finish at the same location every day. So logistically a little bit easier because you're starting and finishing in the same place. So you can rent a car and, you know, if you're coming from out of town or drive or whatever, and you're finishing in the same place as you started.
You have to get back and find your car again.
Yeah. They did have a bus. They did have a bus and they transported people. But you know, like, that's just another layer of like, okay, I have to make sure that I get on the shuttle. And so it's all going to be in one place this year. It's called Nipica Mountain Resort. So it's, I'm not sure how long they've been in
also
operation.
Something you get to spell in the show notes.
Yes, I'll spell it in the show notes. But yeah, it's just like the most stunning place, you know, like crystal clear. You're right on the Kootenai River, and you know, there's a meadow and they have like disc golf set up. So you finish your ride and you can go play disc golf or whatever. Swim in the little lake. And yeah, it's a pretty special spot.
Yeah, I really like that. Especially like if you just one day you're like, oh, I feel pretty fried. You could just tool around, do maybe like a shorter
Yeah, totally.
Ride
totally.
And then just do the thing around
Yeah.
the
Well,
campsite.
And this year, for the first time, they actually have two distance options. So it's 3 days. They have like, they call it the full pint option and then the half pint option. So if like you look at the distances of a full pint and it seems like, I don't know, then you can do the half pint and like ride shorter. You know, it's kind of a like choose your own adventure.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I think I did a trail running trip up in BC last year, not
Oh
near where you
yeah.
are, but over, a little more north of Vancouver. But it's so nice just to like kind of be disconnected. I'm
Yeah.
forced to be disconnected for days, and we would go run every day. We would be out, you know, but between like taking jeeps up to the trailheads, which they were all forest roads, and then running, and then, you know, all the getting back. But so it's pretty, there were long days, but it was just nice to sit every night and like have a glass of wine with people and hang out and eat and jump in the lake and all that stuff. It was like,
Yeah, totally.
you know, enough active and then enough chill and relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is important, which we can talk about the chilling and relaxing afterwards.
Well, yeah, because you've got to get up and do it the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So
So
recovery is important.
I bet you can get the ice bath in the river there, huh?
Yes. Oh yeah. That's my favorite thing to do. Go sit in the river for a good like 10 minutes. And then they also have massage therapists. So my routine, I finish, you get some food, go sit in the river for 10 or 15 minutes and then go get a massage. Like that's like the best thing. And that's all you have to do for the day. And then eat and get up and do it all
Wait a
again.
minute. When is this event? Maybe I want to go this year.
August 23rd to 27th.
I mean, I could maybe make that happen.
Yeah. And then we'll just go to RPI and call it a day.
I know. Road trip from there to RPI. I don't need to work for like the month of August.
We all already work remote, so.
Remember, there's no working at this event. That's amazing. And then, yeah, tell us a little bit about the community, like, because I think that's an intimidating piece too. Like, what if I don't know anybody? Or
yeah, I mean, it's like so many people show up there not knowing anybody, and you find everyone is so friendly because we're all there like working towards that common goal, right? Everyone is going to finish and you're going to do this hard thing, and I think like I said, you find your people, you end up riding with like the people that are kind of around your pace, and but even if it's like afterwards, everyone comes there because they want to be there and they want to like celebrate what they're doing and achieve this amazing thing. And it's, I don't know if you've ever been to a mountain bike or gravel event, like you kind of, I think you know that collective. And this is special because then you get it day after day. And even like from the staff, like the volunteers that Trans Rockies have are awesome and make sure that everyone's having a good time. And the staff is always there and really like, visible, and they make sure that like everyone has what they need. Because when you're kind of in a remote place, you need that. And it's just, it's, yeah, it's a really fun environment. Like I said, at the end, so they serve you dinner every night, and after dinner they do a slideshow of like the pictures of the day, and usually there's some like funny ones of people crashing or people like being silly, and you know, and there's people there, you know, pros there that are there to race and win, but there's also people there that just want to finish, and this is their first event, and like just getting to the finish line is an accomplishment for anybody. But you know, like there's kind of, it's definitely the mullet protocol as well.
I love that. Are there bears?
I mean, there are bears in this area, but bears are scared of people and loud noises. And when you have like a few hundred cyclists rolling through, bears don't want to be a part of that. So
I was on that trip in Canada last summer. We had a bear guy. That was exactly what you would imagine a bear guy to be. He came in and did a briefing on bears. He did know a lot about bears. Like, he takes people on bear, like down the river on bear tours that want to shoot them photography, not shoot them with guns. But he gave us the throat. I actually learned how you actually are supposed to use bear spray.
Oh, good.
With that. So, so it was interesting, but yeah, he's like, typically if you're, they're going to run from you. So unless they're with cubs.
Unless they're with cubs. But even then, they'd rather run away from you than not. So yeah. Don't let that scare you away. Hey all, it's your editor Lindsay here. I want you to get ready to ante up for the Ultimate Gravel Challenge this summer. Join us at the 2024 Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, where adventure awaits in the breathtaking Canadian Rockies. Experience the thrill of a unique 3-day stage race surrounded by stunning scenery on secluded gravel roads in the British Columbia backcountry. With two distance options, the full pint or half pint distances, there's a challenge for every level of rider. And forget about logistics, Trans Rockies has you covered. Fully supported with tents, meals, aid stations, technical support, and even massage services, so all you have to do is focus on the ride. You'll stay at the picturesque Nipica Mountain Resort, nestled in the heart of the Rockies, and celebrate your achievements with daily podium awards, group dinner, and custom designed memorabilia. After the ride, you can unwind at Chillville with cold refreshments, music, games, and camaraderie with your fellow riders. Don't miss out on this epic adventure. Register now at transrockiesgravelroyale.com and use the code GGG24GR100 to save $100 off your entry. The link and discount codes will be in the show notes of this episode. Embrace the challenge, conquer the gravel, and create memories that will last a lifetime. So go all in with us for Trans Rockies Gravel Royale this August.
You're going to be at that event. What else are you looking at this year? I know one you told me about.
Yeah, maybe Sea Otter.
What attracts you about Sea Otter?
Sea Otter is, I think it's just so iconic, you know, like as someone that's followed mountain biking for quite a long time, it's like you always hear about it. Who doesn't want to go to California? And then the caliber of the racing there now as it being part of the Lifetime Grand Prix, it's just like, I think it's kind of the whole atmosphere of Sea Otter that attracts you to that.
Would you race that in the elite belt? Would you do the elite field?
TBD, but I think so. You know, although after I watched Call of a Lifetime recently when it came out and hearing Haley Smith describe the start as like eyeballs bleeding all out effort, it's like, that sounds horrible, but.
Well,
so yeah.
You are back, but Haley also is an Olympian.
Yes, different level. Yeah, so what else? I'm going to do the single track six, Trans Rockies single track six, which is a 6-day mountain bike stage race. This year it's in the West Kootenays, so like Nelson, BC area. And then probably some other local races. Canadian Gravel Nationals are in Calgary, Alberta, which is not too far from me. So potentially having that on my calendar. And then there's a Canadian Rockies 2-4, which is a 24-hour. There's a 24-hour and a 4-hour race. It's in Canmore, Alberta, put on by Corey Wallace, if you know who that is. So potentially that one. I did the 4-hour last year and enjoyed it, and it kind of lines up with the rest of the things I have on my schedule. So that's like set in, I don't know, not, I wouldn't say set in stone, but those are kind of the main things I have planned. Potentially coming down to RPI because I know you're going to be there. We'll see how the year pans out.
Lane just signed up.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good group down there. Actually, I was on the phone with their team the other day and they were like, well, Celine signed up and you haven't done it yet. I was like, I know, I'm still figuring out which distance I'm going to do based on my schedule for the summer.
Totally. Yeah. Like you have such a busy summer with travel that, you know, you don't want to like get there and be like, shoot, I didn't ride enough. And now I have to ride this far and
climbing. Yeah. So it just, everything's kind of settling. And still, and I'm very much like, I'm not doing this to compete anymore. Like, I just want to be doing it to have fun. So I like the thing that challenges me and I still have fun.
Totally.
I want to throw my bike off the side of a mountain at mile 90. It's not fun anymore.
Yeah, no, not having fun doing that. And I think that's like the beautiful thing about gravel racing is that, you know, you can find that of like, I want to go out there and push myself a bit, but like, I still want to have fun and see beautiful places. And yeah, like you can definitely find that in gravel racing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a very informative conversation. I actually learned a lot about shoes.
Great.
If people want to find you on social media, where can they find you?
My Instagram is at GoLinsGo. So that's the best place to find me on social. A lot of dog content.
You're for it.
But you know, some bike content too. And then all the Gravel Royale and like Trans Rocky stuff is on their website. I'll make sure that's linked in the show notes. I should mention also, because we were gonna talk about training a little bit.
Oh yeah.
There is, if you sign up for Gravel Royale or actually any of the Trans Rockies events, you can get a free 10-week training program, which is awesome. You go to their website and you fill out a form. And this training program is by Carson Madsen, who is actually my coach. Vetted, it would be a good program and it's totally free. So it's like a 5-week block. 1 week of recovery and then another 5-week block. So that all that info is on the Trans Rockies website as well. So if you're feeling like, you know, unsure about the training, that's definitely like a really, really good value add to signing up for the race. And I have a discount code as well that I'll put in the show notes
Okay,
for the
perfect.
Gravel community. But
All
yeah.
right. Yeah, and I think there were a lot of good training tips also on Scotty's, you know, and the big thing that came out is consistency, getting on the bike and
Totally.
being consistent. And then I think for this one, a lot of the stuff she talked about too will apply, like some of that low cadence work for the climbing.
There's some climbing for sure. But yeah, like you said, just being consistent with your training. It doesn't always have to be perfect, but be consistent. So
I signed up for Trainer Road. I was like, okay, I gotta like get
awesome.
serious again. So I did
Yeah.
the Trainer Road. And then I was like, I'll do the Masters because I am. And I was like, oh, now I'm in the 2 weeks on, 1 week recovery cycle. But they fit, which is better, right? Like even for women in my age bracket, like there's a lot of research that that's a better. But I'm still in base, so I'm like, well, this is
Yeah,
really
a little
easy.
more.
But then I was
Yeah.
looking ahead, I was like, this is not going to be really
It's not
easy.
gonna be easy. And like, don't underestimate, like, easy is okay sometimes. You know, I think as athletes, whatever level you're at, you get like, oh man, this is too easy. But like Scotty talked about, our easy rides have to be easy. We want them to be easy so that you can recover and perform for the hard stuff. So yeah, don't be afraid of easy. That's
Yeah,
my
exactly.
parting words, maybe. I don't know. But work hard too. But recover hard too.
Yeah. I love that. Hey, well, actually, that does bring me around because when we talked to you last time, you had come out of some like low energy availability and you had really learned how to fuel yourself. And now you're working full time, you're training, just like making sure that you're getting enough fueling in. Like, have you found new tricks?
Yeah, totally. Being prepared is like probably my biggest, it's not even a hack. It's just like I am a busy person. I, like you said, I work and do other things and I train. And if I don't like make my lunch for the day the night before, then I show up, I've done my workout in the morning and I get to work and I'm like, shoot, like I have some nuts and an apple and like that's not enough. I need to like make sure that I have snacks with me and like not just snacks but like actual meals so that like I can recover from the work that I have done this morning on the trainer and still like have the energy to get through my day. So yeah, like being prepared and just eating enough and like not overstuffing yourself all the time obviously, but
Yeah.
like eating till you're full sometimes is good. And like yeah, planning ahead so that you don't show up somewhere and be like, man, I'm so hangry, like I can't get through the next 20 minutes. Like a little bit of planning goes a long, long way is what I found for myself.
Yeah, it was really interesting because I wrote, it's been a long time since I've ridden outside. And I was showing you my new bike at the beginning. And I rode with some people last weekend. It was like a super easy ride. We're a bunch of us from the gym are doing Seattle to Portland, which is not a hard ride. It's mostly a road ride and it's not a ton of elevation. But you know, I was like, oh, we're going at a really easy pace. It's a flat trail. I brought some snacks, but I just didn't. It was cold, also cold, so I wasn't like drinking. I had some tailwind in my thing, but I wasn't drinking very much. And I thought I was gonna bonk like an hour and 15 minutes in. I was like, I'm so hungry. I can't even function. And it was like a super easy ride. And it just like showed like stuff accumulates, right? Because I'm also doing a big strength program right now and like got back into the cycling. And you really have to stay on top of it every day. You can't like be like, oh, I'm not gonna pay attention for this workout or.
For sure, for sure. And like you said, it accumulates, right? So if you had done, you were at the gym the day before and did a really hard workout, and maybe you were busy and didn't eat a great dinner, and then you get up, have a quick breakfast, and go do this ride, like, well, you're not fueled for that ride because of not just the effort of the ride, but everything else you've done leading up to that, too. And I think it's really easy to underestimate all of those other things. Which is something I'm still working on and still learning, but you know, like stress is stress. We've mentioned that on the podcast before. So not underestimating like everything else in your life. and how that affects you when you get on the bike. Like, me riding my bike is not an isolated like person and event. It's all part of like my whole day and what I have to like be prepared and fueled for. So
Exactly.
It's a big the big picture. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's interesting. I found, you know, my normal breakfast is like, I feel like the sausage egg muffin from Costco. And I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this isn't even 300 calories, which is fine when I'm at home, because then I'll have like an extra protein thing or like a mid-morning snack before I train. But now when I was on the bike and I was like, that was too little.
And like great protein, but where were your carbs?
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid of carbs.
Yeah.
Especially when you're on the bike.
Like gummy bears. Gummy bears are my
gummy
favorite
bears.
fueling source.
Yeah. Gummy bears are delicious.
This is an inside joke, just in case the guy that owns my gym listens to the podcast.
Okay. Gummy bears for the win.
Cool. Well, Lindsay, we've gone all over the place, but it's really
all
fun
over
to
the place.
Catch up with you. Hopefully we'll have Christy back next week. And
yeah.
Or she might just stay down in Patagonia, Arizona until gravel camp.
I mean,
we
I don't
won't hear
blame
from her.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much for all your insight. And I don't know, now I'm gonna have to look at that Trans Rockies.
You should. It's gonna be super fun.
Not this year, next year.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you, Catherine. It was great to chat with you.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.